What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Bedrosian throws to Sandberg, and the pitch is grounded to second base. Thompson has it, throws to first. It's over! 27 years of waiting have come to an end. The Giants have won the pennant.
Welcome back to Thompson to Clark. It is the last week of regular season baseball, and for the Giants, the last week of the season until spring training of next year. So we will
You're saying it's over? we don't have a chance.
Well, I mean, it's just classic Giants, right? To all of a sudden sweep a playoff team after the season's already over.
Unbelievable.
Where was that fire during the season? Come on.
Yeah, but then you also have to turn around and wonder, are the Royals pretenders now? I mean, what's going on?
That was my main takeaways. Okay, yeah. they're not legitimate.
One run in three games for a playoff contending team. If you're a Royals fan, you're feeling that one. You're like, our team is not ready, man.
Yeah. Yep. I know. I hear you. And look, they are technically they're young, right? They should be going through these kind of these ups and downs. Bobby Witt Jr., like, he's growing into that role as being the man in on that team. So before we talk about the rest of the season, I did want to allow Brad to cheer, to be happy for his football team, because the first 2 weeks of the season was not very happy for him. But when you beat the 49ers and you're a Rams fan, that's almost like two wins in itself. So I wanted to allow Brad to, you know, kind of pat the back a little bit of his football team. They handled, I thought the 49ers were going to win, but I thought it was a disappointing performance. I thought there was an outside chance that they were just going to kind of let the game slip away. And they did. If you're a Rams fan, you could say that they took it away. But yeah, man, you guys got the
I wouldn't say we took that one away. That was I think that was one where both teams were trying to give it away at some point. And we tried to give it away in the first half. You tried to give it away in the second half. And it was just, you know, it was one of those games where I think, what was it? Where luckily that one turnover got overturned, but I think you guys were up like 21-7 or something. Was it 21-7 at one point?
I think so.
I think it might have been. I think it was 21-7 at one point, and we were just about to turn over the ball, and it got overturned, and the Rams got the ball back. But I think I texted you guys, and I was like, I think I need a beer right now. I think I need to watch something else. I need to do something else at this point. But you know, I hung in there, and I thought, I just want to watch my team fight. I'd rather have a win than a valiant effort, and so to get like both was kind of fun. But you know, both teams are 1-2. We got to remember that both teams are 1-2. They're fighting massive injuries at this point,
and the Seahawks are 3-0. Geez.
Well, that's the thing, is the Seahawks are cruising along. You know, the post Pete Carroll era, the last couple of seasons has been pretty nice for that team. Because he retired, what, 2 years ago, right? This is the...
good question. No, maybe it was last year.
I want to say it was actually really, really close. But yeah, and then Arizona still doing some things. They got beat yesterday, I think, but trounced the Rams 2 weeks ago. Weird division. It's going to be one of those divisions that's probably going to be a battle down to the end. If the Rams could get healthy, if the Niners can get healthy, I mean, the next time they play, that could be I'd much rather see both teams battle with all their weapons. I don't think the Rams have the defense to fight yet. I think they're starting to gel. Second half yesterday was much better, you know, effort-wise and scheme-wise than it was in the first half. And then it was all of the last game against Arizona. And then they gave up, you know, quite a bit of rushing yards to the Lions in the first game. So, you know, the Rams have two losses on the season, one a blowout, one in overtime, and the other game was a win with 2 seconds left. So, I mean, it's just any time in football, you only have 17 games.
Yep.
And you only play one game a week. So anytime you can get a W, you just kind of cherish that. Like, I don't give a crap how we got it. it was nice to get it. And then worry about next week. So, yeah.
Yes. So we're going to talk baseball right now. In a couple seconds. I just want to say one thing, because we are a Bay Area sports network. The latest on the 49ers, which I already wrote about and is on the website if you haven't checked it out yet. The Javon Hargrave, who is a starting defensive lineman and who had a sack on Stafford. He kind of had the full body out on Stafford. He's out for the season. He has a partial torn tricep just announced today he's out for the season. Brock Purdy's dealing with a back injury, but it doesn't sound too serious, but you never know with back, because back is always crazy. Go do some Pilates, Brock.
Get out of bed. Don't get out of bed too fast. I can tell you that much with the bad back.
Christian McCaffrey, who has yet to play, it came out today that he was in Germany this weekend to see a specialist about his Achilles tendonitis. So that doesn't sound good. And you know, I made this comparison in the blog post that's up on bspnmedia.com. In 2019, the Warriors had just done like an incredible 5-year run. They had won 3 championships, and in 2019 they were going for their 4th out of 5 against a very game Toronto Raptors. The injuries were piling up. In game 1 of that finals, Kevin Durant ruptures his Achilles tendon, so he's out. And then I think it was in game 5, Klay Thompson tears his ACL.
Right.
So not saying that necessarily that the Niners are headed for this like crazy injury season. They're already dealing with it, but that they have been in the NFC title game 3 years in a row. And then 2 years before that, they were in the Super Bowl. So there's lots of extra games. They've probably played something like 12 extra games or 10 extra games over the last 5 seasons just by being in the playoffs. And that stuff adds up. And they had the holdouts early in the year. So not that I didn't expect it to happen, but it was in the back of my mind as far as the worry for this season. So you never know. Like you said, it's a competitive division. If they can stay around 500 and then get on a little bit of a run, they'll be competitive. But it's going to be tough.
With football too, it's the, you know, injuries are going to be there. It's just the nature of the game. Like baseball, you're going to have injuries, but a lot of times it's not going to be one of those ones, unless you're a pitcher, you know, pitching staff, you're going to have to deal with long-term arm injuries. You know, baseball, it's, he did this or tweaked his ankle. He's going to be out for 3 weeks. Hamstrings, the biggest one for baseball. But you have a next man up mentality. You have a packed farm system. Football, you've got a practice squad, and a practice squad doesn't usually cut it. But you do have draft capital. You can make trades. You know, the trade deadline has gotten more exciting over the years for football. But it's just one of those things, man, when that window is open in the NFL, you grab it. You grab that window and you punch your way through and get that. You know, I'm just happy the Rams were able to do it when Aaron Donald was still playing with Matthew Stafford. I thought that was exciting, but you kind of knew like, hey, this might be it, man. This might be it for the window. So,
yep. Well, let's talk about some baseball. Like I said, the Giants are in the last week of the season, and they are heading into a stretch of 3 games against the Diamondbacks, and the Diamondbacks are in the mix. They are, I think they're tied with the Mets for the second wild card, I believe. And then they finish off against the Cardinals at home. So 3 on the road, three at home to end the season. These games against the Diamondbacks are meaningful. The games that they played against the Royals and the Orioles, well, not the Orioles that much, but they did take 2 out of 3 from the Orioles. They took 3 out of 3 from the Royals. So they had a very good week. And, you know, Bob Melvin said, hey, we owe it to the playoff race that we're going to play these games with winning in mind. And I wanted to ask you a question because this relates to the other topic that we're going to talk about. So we'll kind of combine these two topics together and just have a longer conversation. Do you buy into the idea that, you know, in order to compete in the playoff race and to respect the playoff race, Brett Wisely and Donovan, what's his name? I don't even remember his last name. Donovan Walton.
The great Donovan Walton.
Those are the guys who are going to play heavy innings because they're the best suited to compete versus a Marco Luciano, who I feel like Farhan has just lied to us multiple times about Luciano. Like, if you take all of the quotes about Luciano from Farhan for the year, and it's unfortunate for Farhan because he's kind of the voice. Like, Melvin is the kind of the day-to-day voice, but when it comes to moves and stuff, it's Farhan. And beginning of the season, Luciano's going to be our starting shortstop. And then they sign Nick Ahmed during spring training. And then they trade Jorge Soler. This means that Luciano's going to get the ABs that he needs, and then he doesn't, and he gets actually less ABs than he had during the regular season up to that point. And now you're looking at it. I sort of look at this as garbage time in the season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty much.
And Luciano should be getting all of the at-bats, even if he can't play in the on defense, like at least from the DH perspective. But according to Melvin, the best team on the field does not include Luciano, and they sent him back to Arizona so that he could learn how to play the outfield. They couldn't have waited a week to do that. Like, he needed that extra week to get a jump on learning how to play the outfield. Like, what is this extra week going to do for him? So what is your take on the idea that the Giants are trying to win games, and thus this is the lineup that they're putting out there?
You know, I thought about this one long and hard today, and I've been thinking about it for the week too. You know, it's kind of one of those things. First off, if we haven't learned anything from Farhan, at least we've learned that this guy is a psychiatrist's dream. He's one of those guys. He doesn't say much, but when he does say things, he just talks and he says too much and he reveals too much that may not end up being true in the long run. And we've kind of seen that from Farhan over the years. Yeah, you know, Marco Luciano was our starting shortstop. Here's Nick Ahmed. I mean, it's, you know, these are things that we've seen throughout the years with Farhan. But I have thought about this with Luciano, and you do have a point. I didn't really think about that a whole lot. You know, only 1 week left. What's the point of sending him down to, you know, down to Arizona to work on being an outfielder? Because my whole thought process on all of this right now is, look, Walton, Wisely, those guys can play defense. They can stop runs from being scored. They can stop your pitching staff from being stressed by not giving up extra outs. And the Giants, you know, we're at the end of the season. The pitching staff is burnt. The bullpen is burnt. Landon Roop is, you know, auditioning for a job next year. Jordan Hicks isn't, you know, he's back on the IL, right? So you don't have anybody you can use that you really started the season with. Robbie Ray is still on the IL. He hasn't come off the IL. So you're just kind of saving your pitching staff a little bit, saving their ERAs. I mean, you got Blake Snell who's going to be going, although errors don't affect ERA. I know that. But again, they don't have to throw extra pitches. They don't have to get extra outs. Luciano does not have a position. He is not a position player at this point in his career. He's had enough opportunities in AAA to learn to play second base. Didn't happen. Came up, tried to play a little bit of second base, you know, with the big club. didn't happen. Started the season at shortstop, wasn't happening. Played some shortstop down in AAA, also wasn't happening. So at this point, you have to say, look, is he going to be a starter on this roster next year in the lineup opening day? Or do we have to say, look, we also need to showcase this guy? Because if he can hit a little bit and play outfield, he's going to be a trade piece. And the Giants do need trade pieces. They need highly touted prospect trade pieces who have a position. I mean, if Luciano is up with the club and he's hitting, you know, 290 with an OPS of 900, the Giants are going to find a spot for him. It's going to be DH. It's going to be put him at second base, let him give up, an extra out, and then he'll get us two or three ribs this game or over the series and make up for it. But he's not doing that right now. The problem is when you look at Marco's numbers, lifetime in the minors, he's played 375 games. He struck out 428 times in 375 games. This season with the Giants up at the big club, he's played in 27 games. He struck out 28 times and walked 5 times. His OPS is 562 in the bigs. His OPS has not been above 789 since 2022 when he was playing rookie ball with the Giants black team.
Yeah.
So that tells you the OPS isn't there. The fielding isn't there. They're desperate to try something to get Luciano to where he needs to be, the highly touted prospect. I mean, we're trying to, fans are trying to make, you know, an Aaron Judge out of a Gary Brown. It's not going to happen. I mean, right now, Luciano is not even in the middle of those two guys. He's kind of on the back end, closer to a Gary Brown at this point. I'm fine with sending him down. Look, you got to send messages to the guy that you got to do something somewhere. We're giving you opportunities. And I know everybody says, hey, he didn't play enough. He didn't get enough chances. When you look at his, his game log, he has played in quite a few games over the past couple of weeks. And there was an 0-for-4 with 3 strikeouts. There was an 0-for-3, a couple of 0-for-3s with 2 strikeouts. Yeah, I mean, that's not doing anything. And yeah, I think I'd rather see Walton or Wisely play at this point. And I'd rather see Luciano get his chops, start early. There's got to be a great offseason plan for him. I mean, there has to be, because you got to get this guy either a showcase for a trade piece or get him up to the majors and let him play every day.
Okay, here's a question, because I very much understand what you're saying. And some of this could definitely be that they don't want to expose him.
Right.
That he's just going to fail. We're going to save him from failing. They have absolutely tanked his value.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Because if you thought that, like, let's say they did think that, you wouldn't have had those quotes that Farhan made unless he thought there was possibly a trade out there in the beginning. And by saying Luciano's going to be the starting shortstop, that should enhance what his value was at that time.
Yeah.
The problem for me is the yo-yoing feels like they didn't really have a plan. I am not sure, and there are things that are happening on that team day in and day out that you and I can't really see. And maybe there's something where they were going to do X and then something else happened that made them pivot from the plan. But what it feels like, and I think what I am sensing from Giants fans, what I'm sensing from Grant Brisby, who wrote the piece over the weekend about this, I am sensing it just looks like they have no great plan. And when you have no great plan, they did the same thing to Eliot Ramos, right? We were complaining about this until Ramos got a chance to play this year, and not saying that we were right and they were wrong. The opportunity was there. He's balled out.
Many people said, let Elliot play, bring him up and give him at bats.
And they're trying to stay at 500. And maybe if Elliott plays last year, they lose an extra couple games and they thought maybe they're going to be a playoff team. Whatever the case is, this team is all about the fringes. Farhan is all about the fringes, all about the possibility of changing three games out of the loss column and putting them into the win column. And all of a sudden your season is much different. Like that's what this team has been since Farhan came on. But the plan on handling Luciano, it just did not seem solid. And we are sort of seeing this. And I have a little bit of worry about Bryce Eldridge too, because the idea, it seems less with Eldridge especially, it seems less about letting him continue to get those ABs and gradually go up. And it's more about, oh, let's see what he can do at this level. Oh, let's see what he can do here. Oh, let's see what he can do here. And I understand the temptation to do that. This dude is like 19 years old and he's getting hacks at AAA.
Yeah.
And I would like personally, I would rather see those glowing prospect reports come next year about how he dominated AA and then throw him into AAA once the season starts. But now we'll see. I mean, maybe a week of ABs is not even a big deal, but it just seems like they're trying to experiment so much to get data to see if it meshes with what they think is happening. And I almost worry that that is a bigger problem than anything. It's like, you know, we saw last year. Now, they will probably say that bringing up Wade Meckler was like a necessity. There had to have been 4A center fielders hanging out that, you know, you could have put on the 40-man, but maybe they didn't want to, you know, lose one specific middle reliever, you know, because like just some of these decisions that they make, they don't seem to be made with a big picture in mind. It seems to be made kind of like at the last minute. And I don't like feeling that this team and the general manager and the baseball ops guy are kind of at the seat of their pants. Like I want it to feel like there's a plan and they're just like, you know, this is blueprint and they're just going step by step in the blueprint. Now you can't do it entirely because baseball is not predictable, but it just feels like there's not a great plan or they're not following the plan that they may have set. What do you think about that argument?
I see where you're coming from. Absolutely. And maybe there's a log jam at the 40 man because of COVID. You know, there were a lot of things you didn't get to see a lot of players. So when you had the Rule 5 rolled around in 2021, all of a sudden you're like, shoot, we got to put guys on the 40 man or else we're going to lose them. And we don't even know who they are yet. So I think a lot of that kind of fell into that 2021, 2022. So there was a little bit of a logjam at the 40 man, because I mean, there's, you know, I think 2019, the 40 man wasn't full. It was like 33, 34, 35. There were a couple spots on the end and, you know, Farhan did his thing, made his moves. And then 2020 and 21, 22 kind of screwed everything up. But yeah, I see where you're coming from. Why doesn't each player have a plan A, B, and C, you know, on them in the minors? Because then we'll have an idea. But like, you're right. I mean, because it's not like Eldridge was absolutely destroying the ball in Richmond at AA. I mean, he hit like 250, right? I mean, 250 and his OPS wasn't, you know, crazy. So for them to bring him up to AAA for like 2 weeks, I guess, yeah, hey, here's a taste. Here's what it could be. The interview with Pavs was really cool. I enjoyed it because you got to see a little bit of cockiness from Bryce Eldridge. And that's what you want to see. I mean, it was a little bit of Will Clark swagger, but not, you know, not over the top or anything like that. It was a good cockiness. He basically said, hey, I want to make it as difficult next year for, you know, ownership and management to keep me down in the minors. I want to make it as difficult as a decision for them as it can be. So that's good. So he pushes himself. He's not just kind of going along for the ride saying, well, you know, I hit well in AA and now I'm hitting AAA. I hope I do good up here too. No, he feels like he's ready for it mentally. He said every you know, move he makes up through the system, it gets the game gets a little bit faster and a little bit faster, which is true. I mean, it's, you know, the pitches are faster, the fielders are faster, the throws are faster, the fielding's better. I mean, everything's better as you move up, which is good. You know, it's good for him to see for a couple of weeks. But yeah, I am all for seeing him play an entire season in AAA next year, unless his OPS in AAA after the first 3 months is, or 2 months is 900, then you're like, okay, it's probably time for him to come up. So I have a feeling the plan at this point is Lamont Wade Jr. first base. Then let's kind of see what Eldridge does in AAA. But then again, like you said, the seat of your pants. What's the plan if that fails? Is it Lamont Wade Jr. the rest of the season, and then you miss out on Pete Alonso? You miss out on Christian Walker because you don't have a backup plan? You don't have a plan A, B, or C for Eldridge? It's just if he hits well in AAA, he comes up. If he doesn't, he stays down. That's cool. That's very 1985 thinking, but this is 2024, so we kind of have to have plans. So I agree with you. It is a bit frustrating at times to go, huh, that's an interesting move that goes against everything Farhan just said.
and I guess maybe that is the real problem, is him making statements that he doesn't fully believe in, or making,
like I said, a psychiatrist's dream. He'll say things, and then 2 weeks later, it's the exact opposite. Like, where did that come from, and why did you change your mind?
Yeah, or maybe it's a bet that, you know, they have something in play and he's trying to lean into that, and it just doesn't work out. Whatever it is, I just find it to be frustrating. And, you know, I not comparing sports again here with 49ers, but I seem to be the only one outraged that the team was poo-pooing this Christian McCaffrey injury all preseason, as if he'll be fine. If this was the playoffs, he would play. And I'm like, then it turns out that he's actually really injured. So you basically lied to the fans, probably because you didn't want the rest of the league to know that he was hurt, or he got, or it just got progressively worse. You know, we'll never know. But the relationship between the team and the fan base, Giants fans will forgive a lot. They've been through a lot, but they also remember the World Series teams, and they also remember how those teams took care of business. And when you are so wishy-washy, it feels like 1985. Like you said, it doesn't feel like 2010 or 2012 or 2014. It feels like the guy doesn't really know what he's doing, or he's pushing the wrong buttons. And we know that Farhan is a smart guy. So I don't think he's not a smart guy. And maybe Farhan's like, yeah, if I didn't push all these buttons, this is a 75 win team every year. Because I push these buttons, we actually are closer to 500 and have a chance. I don't know. I'm not smart enough to do that math, but I just wish that I had more confidence in the things that he said and in the current regime. Bob Melvin is almost honest to a fault sometimes, because I'm just like, guy, I'm glad that you're telling me this, but like, now I'm a little frustrated that this is how you guys were thinking. So anyway.
Yeah, no, and I'm with you on that too. And I'm an optimist. So I really do think if Farhan was a little more conservative, you know, maybe this, like you said, maybe we're watching a 70 win team, a 75 win team, and we're sitting here going, oh God, but, you know, why didn't he bring up Ramos earlier? Why didn't he do this? Why didn't he do that? But
yeah.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes. You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
What was your takeaway from this week in Giants baseball? Were you like, you know what, they're showing some good things? Or were you like me, and I'm taking, I will admit, this is a very negative way to think. I'm just like, of course you're winning when it doesn't matter. Like, that's just what you guys do. Like, what was your take on the whole week?
I loved it, man. Hey, the Giants go on a tear. I like it. I don't care when it is. It's fun to watch. You go 5-1 against, contending teams. That's fantastic. Now, if they can keep it going against Arizona, awesome. And then if they can finish out strong against St. Louis, awesome. I mean, the Giants would finish now. And last week, what did I say? They had to finish. It was like, I can't remember. It was like 13-3 or something. Well, now they only have to finish 4-2 or better.
Yeah.
To finish 500 or above. So, you know, they've been playing good baseball. I like it because for me, in our chat group, I've been saying this too. It's a preview for me for what we might get next year. What kind of Giants baseball might we get next year? A little bit faster. Good pitching, strong bullpen, some good defense. When you start to think about the pieces you get back, although you're losing, you know, I get it. You're losing Snell. Conforto was on a tear. You're losing Conforto. You're losing Snell. But you're getting Jung-Hoo Lee back. The outfield is going to look exciting. So to kind of continue to watch the development of McCray, continue to watch the development of Ramos, even though he's significantly cooled off. But hey, it's a long season, very emotional season for him, big season for him. So having a full spring training, knowing that he's going to be probably the starting left fielder next season, that's great. Going to the offseason with that. So I like seeing, you know, kind of what's going on right now. It's better than losing. I don't want to watch this team lose. I'm still going to watch the games, but I don't want to watch them go 1-5 against the Orioles and the Royals, because then you go, yeah, I knew that. That's who this team is. But to see them go out and fight and win ball games, I mean, 9-0 and 2-1 and, you know, games like that, and then beat the Royals or give up one run to the Royals in three games. I mean, that's fantastic. I enjoy that.
The Orioles, I will say I was surprised that they played so well in Camden. You know, I always remember Camden for the 1993 All-Star game.
Oh yeah.
Because this was the Bonds year, right? His first year with the Giants, and then he's the highest vote getter for the All-Star game, and then he goes bonkers at Camden. I always remember Camden for that reason, and then I go, "Wait a second. Camden is like an old park now." Like,
it's very old. Yeah.
Like, it's like over 30 years old when I think of it still as like, oh, that new park, Camden. You know, it's not called Camden anymore, is it? What do they call it?
Is it just Orioles Park now?
At Camden,
I think it's
Yards,
still Camden Yards. Okay. Yeah, I think it's still Camden Yards. And that's the one, that's the year too, the home run derby where Griffey hit the warehouse.
Mm-hmm.
or it would have hit the warehouse. I think it hit something in front of it. They had some, you know, makeshift stand set up or something, you know, with celebration out there because it was All-Star weekend, and it hit something and it would have hit the warehouse. But, and remember, we watched Cal Ripken Jr. break the streak there in 1995. I mean, yeah, that was awesome. And so, yeah, that's how old that ballpark is, but it is still one of the
really
best
cool
ballparks. Oh, and then they're showing them making the crab.
Yeah.
Steamed crab and everything. I would go there just for that. Holy moly.
Yeah, I would love to go there one of these days. That'd be a fun park to check out.
Though when I retire, we're going to be making some baseball trips.
We've talked about this. Yeah. Trying to do like a road trip a year of going to like a park that we've always wanted to go to.
Yeah, be awesome.
I guess we do have to talk about this. Shohei Ohtani, 50-50.
We don't have to, but yeah.
We are absolutely 100% Dodger haters.
Yes.
We have made that known. We do not like them in any way.
No.
Shohei was dead to us when he signed with the Dodgers. But we are also baseball fans, and to do what he has done with 50-50 is amazing. Now there's going to be some people who go, hey, but the bases are a little bit bigger. How many? I'm ready for the piece that examines like every single one of his steals. And it's like doing like the,
so this wouldn't have been one. Yeah, this would
he
have
really
been
only
one.
Had 37 stolen bases. He would have been caught 25 times with the old bases. It is amazing, right? Like just the idea of 50-50, 40-40. Now, when we were younger, 1988, I'm like 12 years old when Jose Canseco goes 40-40. And then you hear Willie Mays going like, if I knew 40-40 was a thing, I would have done it every year. Like, what's going on here?
He would have done 50-50.
Yeah. So, but 50-50, like it has been since 1988. That when the first person, Jose Canseco, did 40-40. I know Bonds did 40-40. Did A-Rod also do 40-40?
Oh,
I know Acuna.
I'm not 100% sure.
Acuna
did 40-80.
Yeah, Acuna's a ridiculous season as well. But 50-50 is pretty special. And to see Ohtani, to see what Judge is doing, crushing the baseball. Judge has got like an outside shot of getting to 60 again, but he's going to have to get on a crazy tear this last week of the season. The MLB has got to be salivating for the possibility of Yankees Dodgers.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I mean, that's, and hey, you know what? As a baseball fan, I want that too. I want to see Dodgers pitchers face Soto, Aaron Judge.
We'll be the big. We're going to be the biggest Yankees fans.
Oh yeah, 100%. I get to buy a Yankees hat. No, that's if the Dodgers make it that far. Ooh, yeah, I know. We have to see.
I mean, losing Glass now. Yamamoto is back, but he's still on a pitch count. I guess like Kershaw's going to be starting game two of the playoffs. Like Walker Buehler is going to be starting game three. That's rough for them. I don't know.
Yeah, that's
like Dave Roberts has got to be just like in a no-win situation with his pitching staff, because the fans are going to blame him, and they're going to blame like how the Dodgers kind of bring pitchers through the farm system. They're going to blame those people.
Right.
And they won't blame the bad luck that they've had with arms, for sure.
So would you rather have that? Would you rather have Farhan, who pushes pitchers through the system and blows their arms out after a year or two of being in the majors? Or would you rather watch him say stuff about Luciano and then Luciano?
Well, I will say the way that the Giants handle their rotation, maybe not last year because of all the openers that we had to sit through, but this year, you can't really blame the Giants starting pitching. You can blame maybe the plan, which was we're going to really have to rely on the second half. But if you get Robbie Ray next year and you have Logan Webb, that's a good 1-2 punch. I don't know what Robbie Ray's free agency is going to be like now with him going back on the IL. I assume he's going to opt out and figure it out, unless the Giants decide that we're not going to let this guy opt out. We're going to get him back in. I think that would be smart. But the injury does kind of have to worry them, because he is coming off an arm injury. Now he's got the leg, the hammy. So they will probably want to put him on a nice off-season kind of workout to build up some of the things that maybe he's favoring because of the arm deal. So that will be interesting to see how they deal with that. But you also have to be very happy with how the young guys are. They, you know, we talk about the Luciano thing. They've done the flip side with the young pitchers in the farm system. They have some information on Landon Roop. They have some information on Hayden Birdsong, and they have some information on Kyle Harrison, though, you know, maybe the Kyle Harrison information isn't as great as they wanted it to be. But those three guys, you look at those three guys and how they brought them through the system, and you're like, okay, like they have shown, excuse me, that they can pitch at the big league level, which at least they have proven that, which they have not proven with Marco Luciano.
Yeah.
That he,
yeah. So you're right. And that's what, you know, the difference between that, you know, the Giants pitching, they're very conservative with their pitchers. They worry about pitch count. They worry about, you know, how hard are they throwing? Have they thrown too many innings versus how hard they're throwing? And I do appreciate that, because I mean, that's your commodity right there. That's how you win games. You can spend the money on free agency for hitters, and then you could work your pitchers through the system, especially at that ballpark. You can draft a ton of pitchers, work them through, and then at Oracle Park, they're going to perform really well because that's what they do. That's how you do it at Oracle Park. But yeah, I think it's going to be an interesting playoff series. They're still, I mean, American League wild card still not fully decided. National League wild card still not fully decided. So I'll definitely have my eye on some of those games this week. I pulled up the 40-40 club because we were talking about that. I want to go through the names in the 40-40 club. There's only six, right?
Oh, so, that's more than I even realized.
Yeah. So the first 40-40 guy, Jose Canseco, we know that, 42 home runs, 40 stolen bases, 151 games to get there. Barry Bonds did it in 1996, 42-40 also. 158 games to get there. A-Rod, 1998, when he was with the Mariners, 42-46, 153 games to get there. Alfonso Soriano, 46 home runs.
Yeah, Soriano,
2006 with the Nationals. 46 home runs, 41 stolen bases, took him 147 games. And then Acuna Jr. last year, 41-73. So he was 40-70. And that took him 152 games. And then Shohei, 126 games to get to 40-40. It's ridiculous. 53 home runs, 55 stolen bases so far. He won't get to 60-60. Unless, I mean, we're talking, there are six games.
Unless he has another game in which he hits like three jacks with 10 RBI.
Yeah, then all of a sudden you're like, oh. Are we? So I hope he finishes 59-59.
Well, I mean, what we really hope is that once the playoff starts that he gets gout or something.
And
not a very harmful injury, just something that, is just going to linger with him. And then like
infected paper cut.
Yeah, something like that, where it just all of a sudden he's like 1-for-20 in the series, and you're like,
He can still play. He's not that hurt, but he can still play.
Yeah.
I think he's used up all of his home runs. I don't think he's going to have any left in because that's the Dodgers MO. You get to the postseason and they just, you can pitch around those guys because the bottom half of that lineup is so bad.
Yeah. I loved the Onion article on Ohtani.
Oh no.
Ohtani cashes in 50 home run futures bet ticket.
That's fantastic.
That was great. So we're going to cut this one a little bit short because there wasn't a lot going on this week, but I didn't even ask Brad if he had one of these, but did you have a player of the week?
You know, I thought about it today and I was like, I don't know. I mean, what are those situations? I think with those wins and we've been holding off on this guy, and I got to look at his numbers for this week, but Ryan Walker, you keep seeing him in the box score. And
he did give up the game. Didn't he give up the one game that they lost this week?
He did. Yeah. But he's got 9 saves since taking over. If you look at, he did give up a home run. That was the game at Baltimore that they did lose. But he did, let's see. He got a save. The final game against the Padres He got a save. He got 2 saves this week. So at Baltimore and then 1 at Kansas City. So can I give it to him? I don't know. I just kept seeing his name pop up in the box score. And I thought, that's a guy who I've been holding off on for a while. But I don't know, man. Brandon Roop, probably. Or Landon Roop, I mean.
I know Blake Snell had a really good start. So if you look at the last 4 games of Ryan Walker, which would have been the week, because we use we go Monday to Sunday, so I think this game, no, it's so this would have been 3 games. He did pitch in three games, 2 2/3. He did give up the extra inning loss, but in the other two games, did he pick up saves? I hate it when Baseball Reference has like so many stats that I can't actually figure out what this is. But so, I mean, he's having a great year. Why don't we just give it to Snell? I just That's feel serious. Like you can give it to Snell because he's dominant when he's out there. Like, imagine the Royals are like fighting for their playoff hopes, and they're like, how do you guys have Blake Snell coming at us? Like, yeah, it's like not fair. And he's like, oh, yeah, I'm only going to throw six innings, but, you know, 12 strikeouts or whatever it was. So why don't we just give it to Snell? Snell's had a fantastic second half of the season. And let's end with this question.
Okay.
As we know, Blake Snell, very much sticking up for his agent, whereas Jordan Montgomery let his agent go and then decided to blame him for the contract and his bad season too, because he's not going to get that big contract that he was looking for. But Blake Snell, even though rough first half, really good second half in some scenarios, threw a no-hitter, was close on another no-hitter. Do you think he's going to get the long contract he is looking for? Because I still think there may be problems, because the issue that the teams have with him is, can you do this for an entire season, including the playoffs? Because if you can do it and you only have to throw six innings, fine. Seven innings, fine. We'll turn it over to our bullpen. But can you do it from the beginning of the season to the end of the season, including playoffs? I think that is the fear with him. And that would have been the fear that the Giants had, I think, if they had been one of the wildcard teams, is can Blake Snell continue to do this in the postseason? So I think he's still going to have – I don't see a seven-year deal awaiting him unless the Dodgers get him to take a $1 million deal and to pro – you know, to put the rest of it in like an investment fund, like they did with Otani. That would be the team that it seems would pay him the most, because he beats them, but two, that is what they are missing, is like the ace. They have $300 million locked up with Yamamoto. They have $150 million locked up with Glasnow. I don't know if they can afford to bring in another guy like that. So,
They've got Shohei too. Don't forget. So next year, Yamamoto, maybe Glasnow, Shohei.
I keep Shohei as a DH, man. Like, yeah. I try to talk him out of it. I pay him extra just to not pitch. I'm like, dude,
that's right.
Just hit. Like, you're the best hitter, one of the best hitters baseball's ever seen. Like, just keep hitting. But like, that's got to be a question, right? Do the Giants now all of a sudden have a little bit of leverage? And is it possible that Blake Snell could be re-signed?
So he's going to turn 32 in December. So he's going to play the entire season as a 32-year-old next year. So any kind of seven-year deal, like you said, I think it's kind of out the window. Would he be happy at this point to say, look, I'll take a five-year deal? Because at that point he'll be 37 when the deal ends. 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yeah, what if Farhan is just like, YOLO? You guys might fire me next year. I'm just signing Blake Snell. It's not my money.
Yeah, I mean, for a five-year, I would take him on a five-year deal, because, again, last year of his deal, he's 36 years old, a free agent at 37. At that point, you're kind of towards the end. If you're a pitcher, you're looking towards retirement. You're looking and saying, look, I'm turning 37 next year. Maybe I pitch 1 year in Seattle, because that's
that dude's just going to become a closer. He's going to do the Smoltz, like, at the end of his career. He's just going to be like the lights out closer.
But he walks too many people. That's
actually true.
He's got to attack the strike zone. So, you know, his pitch repertoire and the way he attacks people, it is not necessarily in the zone. Everything's deceptive in
it's
the
kind
zone.
Kind of like Lincecum in a way.
Yeah, absolutely. Everything falls out of the zone, so he's going to get people to chase. That's his MO. I think he can continue to do that. I think he becomes more Maddox-y as time goes on.
Ah,
you know, starts to kind of soft some of his stuff, come at you a little weird with an arm angle, try to hit some corners, trying to get you to, you know, hit some of the softer stuff just off the plate. And then throw a Bumgarner 91 mile an hour slider at your feet. But I don't know. I mean, it's, I think the Giants can give him 5 years. I think if anybody gives him 6 or 7, I don't think the Giants are going to even bother to match that. I mean, do the Yankees, they're going to lose possibly Garrett Cole? Are they going to say, well, we're losing Garrett Cole, but we can go after Blake Snell. He's going to be less money. Is Garrett Cole even going to be more money? Or, you know, do the Dodgers have their sights on Cole? So that, I mean, there's a lot of intrigue in this offseason. Because, again, the Dodgers have already spent a ton of money.
Yeah.
You know, can they spend more? Yeah, absolutely. They can spend more, especially if they do not win the World Series this year. There's a chance they go cracking that that checkbook and going after it. Because, again, if they win the World Series this year, then they say, well, look, we won the World Series. We have all of our guys coming back. And Shohei is going to pitch, and Yamamoto is going to be healthy, and Glasnow might be healthy. You know, we can add a pitcher that's not a Garrett Cole or Blake Snell. We can add just, you know, another fifth starter, fourth starter, fifth starter, sixth starter.
I forgot about Jack Flaherty.
Jack Flaherty too, but he's is he going to be a free agent? I can't remember. Does he have a year of control?
I think he might be free agent. I don't remember.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So you got him. He's going to be out there too. That's who I wanted the Giants to trade for at the trade deadline was Jack Flaherty. I like his makeup. I like his pitch repertoire. So yeah, I'd like to see Jack Flaherty in a Giants uniform as well. Can the Giants get Jack Flaherty and Blake Snell and then forget about the offense and say, we'll just roll out what we've got. Cause we've got Jung Hoo Lee coming back, Elliot Ramos, a year older, you know, Chapman signed, we got him, and then maybe get a couple of bit pieces here and there. And then they go like Jack Flaherty and Blake Snell. I mean,
you know how they can do it. They can get Flaherty and Snell. If we get Yolo Farhan, if that is his mentality, yeah. Like, hey, It's YOLO time, and you guys are gonna fire me anyways. Then we can get both of those guys.
Yeah. Is Farhan even back? That's a discussion maybe for next week.
It sounds like it's probably less than 50-50 at this point, which is kind of interesting how that changed all of a sudden. And you know, we talked about this last week, the Buster Posey influence and what that means. And
sure.
So I'm sure the offseason, this is why we rarely skip a week is because there's always something going on.
Exactly.
All right. We're done here. We'll be back next week to talk about the end of the season. And I imagine, I think the end of the season presser with Farhan and probably Melvin will be on the Monday after the season is over, but I'm not sure. So if that does happen, we will probably have some 411 on that. We can talk about that, but
sure.
Look, if the Giants get to 500, they may have to bring Farhan and Melvin back and just be good. Like, this might have to happen.
It's just like, hey, this is a 500 club. We got Jung Hoo Lee healthy next year.
Yeah.
You know, we're bringing some pitchers, see what he could do. But yeah, YOLO Farhan.
We need to make that a thing. We need to.
Yeah, hell yeah.
We need to
get some YOLO Farhan t-shirts.
Yeah, YOLO Farhan. Bring him back, Blake Snell, Jack Flaherty, I talked to my buddy who's a Mets fan. He doesn't think the Mets are bringing back Pete Alonso. He thinks they're going after Soto. And I was like, if the Yankees let Soto even think about free agency, it's ridiculous. And he's like, yeah, I think the Cashman has a budget to work through, so they might not be able to bring him back.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, rumor is he's going to stay in New York. It's either with the Yankees or the Mets because he likes the, you know, the bright lights, big city. That's his thing, man. And if you hop over to the Mets and you see that they're a, you know, playoff team this year, then, you know, are you the missing piece that can push him over the edge? So,
yeah.
And he's familiar with the National League East, so that kind of helps a little bit too.
Yes. All right. Yeah, exactly. From the Washington days. All right. We'll be back next week, hopefully with some, maybe some good news, maybe some 500 news. But if not, Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised either because the Giants have disappointed me all year. Actually, you know what?
Don't get your hopes up.
They have not disappointed me because I've said it from day one. They are a 500 team. And until they prove me wrong, that is how I see them. So
they're doing right. exactly what they set out to
exactly.
do.
Exactly. All right. For Brad, I'm Double G. We will see you when we see you. Peace out.
Peace.
What is Dax? Are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen. Yes, I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for
in Dax's domain. We see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge. Trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.